last sentence. You'll see more of that tonight, except that part of it. But Daniel and all the wise men were under a death sentence. And so when the assassin comes to kill Daniel, Daniel says, wait a minute. See, the decree had already been issued that Daniel had to die. The death sentence had already been issued. Not a lot unlike all of us. We're going to die. Death sentence has already been issued by the king. When the assassin came to kill Daniel, Daniel said, wait a minute. Said, there's no need for the king to kill all the wise men that there are in the land, because the scripture says that there is a God. Well, verse 25 of chapter 2. Then Arioch, who was the king's assassin, brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that can make known, or will make known to the king, the interpretation. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known to me the dream which I've seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. And then he makes this phenomenal statement, but something that's totally impossible for anyone or anything, any mankind to do. Daniel makes this statement, but there is a God in heaven. Nothing can do what the king wants done, but there is a God in heaven. Daniel could be a victor instead of a victim because there is a God in heaven. You can be a victor today as well instead of a victim for the very same reason. You don't have to resign yourself to your current circumstances, but there is a God in heaven. You do not have to settle for the status quo that's going on in your life because there is a God in heaven. There was a kingly contract on his life, but there is a God in heaven. You may be burdened by sin today. You may have some weakness that you can't get rid of, that you've tried and tried and tried to conquer, but you can't do it. But there is a God in heaven. You may have some sickness that the doctor says can't be healed, but there is a God in heaven. You may be in a marriage that you think is a dead-end marriage, that nothing in this world can do, and you've had counseling and everything else, but there is a God in heaven. You see, when those impossible things come into our lives, we need to remember, as Daniel did, when Arioch came to take his life, to cut his head off, Daniel said, but there is a God in heaven. There is someone who can intervene. That job that you can't stand that's messed up your life, that life that you have that you don't like, there is a God in heaven. You don't have to accept that. So many of you, the failures of the past, your lack of confidence and boldness, your lack of hope for the future. Folks, if we didn't have anything in this world, it would be pathetic, but there is a God in heaven. So you can be victorious as Daniel was. In interest of the waning hour, let me move to the second point. I want you to consider another victims to victory story out of the book of Daniel. It's found in Daniel chapter 3, just one chapter over. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had made a great statue, and it was tall, and 90 feet, in fact. And he had ordered that everyone worship that statue. The three Hebrew children would not. And let me abbreviate some of this text to get down through. Verse 13 says, Nebuchadnezzar, after the children of Israel, said, we will not bow down and worship that statue. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were brought before the king. And the king says in verse 14, is it true that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I've set up? And I like you guys. You're part of my advisors and counselors. So I tell you what, verse 15. If you'll fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you will not worship it, then I'm going to have you thrown that same hour into the fiery furnace. And now whose God shall be able to deliver you out of my hand? Verse 16. Three Hebrew children said to Nebuchadnezzar, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. And here's the phrase. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. There's the phrase. There's the second phrase. The first phrase was, there is a God in heaven. The second phrase, our God is able to deliver. Doesn't matter what your circumstance is today, our God is able to deliver. There's your phrase out of this second story. He's able to deliver us from the fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And then verse 18, but if not, even if God doesn't deliver us, I want you to know, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, we will not worship the golden image which you set up. And it made Nebuchadnezzar so mad, verse 15, he says, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's normally heated, than it should be heated. Heat it 7 times hotter, and he commanded the most mighty men that he had to bind those 3 Hebrew children, throw them into the fires. They put their coats on them, they put their hose on them, they put their hats on them, all their other garments. They wanted plenty of kindling, so when they hit the fire, they would burn good and quick. The furnace was exceeding hot, verse 22, so hot, in fact, that it killed, that it slew the mightiest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army. Those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and carried them to the front of the furnace, pulled a stone back or whatever it was, threw him in, and the fire consumed those men. It killed them. And these 3 men fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Wow. Just because they wouldn't worship an idol, an image that had been set up. How much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are we? Think about it, guys. We're children of God. The majority of us here this morning are born again. They were children of God. We face difficult choices. Have you ever faced some difficult choices? Are you facing some difficult choices right now? Some things you want to turn loose of? Or some things you want to get a hold of that you shouldn't turn loose of or you shouldn't get a hold of? You're facing some difficult choices like they are. We have to choose now between the world, what we watch, what we read, what we listen to. We can't even witness anymore. They don't even want us to preach the gospel, the truth of God in the pulpits of America anymore. We're facing some difficult choices. We, like they are, have to choose between compromise or conviction. But your God, here's their phrase, he is able to deliver. I want you to look at the conclusion of this story. Then Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to notice something right here, please, in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, or stoned, and he rose up in haste and he spake. I want you to notice the sequence here, guys. I want you to notice how quickly this happens. Verse 23, and these 3 men fell down bound into the midst of the burning furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. As soon as they threw him in, he's sitting there watching from his perch back at a safe distance from the heat. And he sees them thrown in. As soon as they're thrown in, he jumps up. Then it says, right there, he jumps up astonished and he rose up in haste and he spoke. Do you understand what that passage of Scripture is telling us? That when they hit the bottom of the fire, when they hit the furnace, that Jesus was already there. Look what he says. He rose up and he said, didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? Instantly, when the guys went into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up and said, there's 4 men in there. We only threw in 3. You know, I've heard preachers say that the only thing that burnt in the fire was the rope that were on their hands and bound around their arms where they had them tied together. I don't think the fire burned them off. I think Jesus untied them himself. I think Jesus dissolved those binds because when they got there, he was already there. What does that tell me today? Where I am, the trouble I'm in, whatever kind of trouble I'm getting ready to get in that I don't even know anything about, that God's going to, when we get to heaven, we're going to be so blessed with time to preach as much as we want to. We're going to be so blessed with things that God has kept us from that we didn't even know about, but we're going to be so blessed too by the things that he's let us go through. There's some things out there in your road that's going to trip you up, guys. And there's some things out there in your future that's going to hurt you. But God's already going to be there, and it's going to be okay. And a lot of things he's keeping from you because you can't handle them. But the things that he's letting come to you, you can handle, or he wouldn't let them come to you. That's a good place to say, man. Bless God, somebody wake up in here this morning. Man of God, we serve like that, and we sit here waiting for 12 o'clock so we can go eat lunch or have a meeting or do whatever it is you want. Y'all all right? Ah, Lord, how much like him we are. Oh, and he said that guy, that fourth one in there, looks like the Son of God, verse 25. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you guys come out of there, I believe it would have to. You guys come on out of there. I don't want to send anybody to get you. You just walk out. He killed the license I sent to throw you in. So you come. And then everybody, verse 27 and 28, the king's counselors, everybody saw the men. They had no fire on them. The fire had no power. They didn't even smell like not a hair on the head was singed. Not even a hair singed by that fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and has changed, the king's word." Then the king promoted, verse 30, Shadrach, Meshach, in the kingdom. He promoted them again. So there's your phrase, guys. We are not always delivered. I just got through reading Keith Miller and Linda's little story, Barry. I'll pass that on to you. They've written a little booklet thing. The journey that God's chosen for us to travel. And Keith has cancer that's not curable. And the doctor says he's going to have to take, it's in his lungs now, his liver, his lungs. The doctor says he's going to have to take chemo twice a month, I believe, for the rest of his life. And one of the statements in his little book that I finished reading last night, one of his statements was this: "I'm a winner either way. God doesn't always heal. He doesn't always fix it." I think of that dear, sweet pastor over there in Ashe County, Brother Goodman, Mons and Vivian. Had another cancer surgery last week. He did. His wife, as far as he knows, is dying. God doesn't always heal. But let me tell you, he's always in the fire. He's always there. That old song that some of them sang, "He's still in the fire," you know. He's still in the fire. And he'll be there, my friend, when you get there. And he may deliver you miraculously. He has me on many occasions. Sometimes I didn't know about till later. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he let us go through it for a reason. Three Hebrew children became victors because they said, "But if not, our God is able to deliver." You that are here today, listen to me. When did they become victors? When they come out of the furnace? No. When they stood up and said, "But if not," that's when they became victors. You're here today, you have the same thing. You have a God who is able to deliver. He delivered Noah from the flood. He delivered Israel from slavery. He can deliver you here today. He can deliver you from mediocrity. He can do more with you in your life than you have ever imagined that God could do. Who would have ever thought that God would have started a ministry in a holler in Todd in 1998 that's now in 16 countries active? We have 4 major children's facilities under construction now. There's some under construction all the time somewhere in the world. Who would have ever thought God can do great, great things through you today? God is able to deliver. God is able to deliver South Fork Baptist Church from the state of mediocrity and grow it into one of the most significant forces for God that there is in the state of North Carolina or in the United States of America. God is able to deliver. So you can be victorious today. Number one, because there is a God in heaven. Number two, because God is able. But then finally, you can be victorious because of this last statement. And here it is. No, I don't think I'll give it to you. I think I'll just tell you the story and then give it to you when I get to that point. Nebuchadnezzar dies. Belteshazzar, his son, takes over the throne. He's the knothead that got the golden vessels out of the temple and had a party with them. And that's when the finger appeared on the wall and wrote, "Mini, mini, tickle, euphration, thy kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting." In other words, it's over for you, sucker. And he died. And then Darius became the king. The Medes and the Persians became the king. And Daniel, listen, in the process of years, through two kings and to the third king, had become the most favored man in the whole kingdom. In fact, the scripture tells us, if you'll read the story when you get home and have time, that the king was getting, listen to this, that King Darius was getting ready to make him the prime minister over the whole country, put him in charge of everything. That's how much favor he'd gotten. The other guys, the princes and the other kings that he had appointed, got jealous, so they knew the only way they could catch Daniel, because there was not a flaw in his character. Don't you wish that people could say about you, "There's not a flaw in your character"? I wish they could say that about me. They knew that the only way they could take it. So they make it up and they go to the king. They say, "King Darius, you're the king. And I tell you what, we just want to honor you. You're the man. And we just want to honor you. And I tell you what, let's do. Let you have a decree that nobody can ask anything from any god or any other king except you for 30 days. If anybody prays to any other king or anybody else, they get killed. Put in the lion's den. Sign it, Dakaris. You're the man. We want you to be honored. Oh, his ego blew up, man. I am the man. Done deal. Law of the Medes and Persians, what the king declares, cannot be canceled, reversed, or erased. They knew what Daniel was going to do. Daniel went into his quiet place three times a day, got on his knees, turned his face toward Jerusalem where the temple was, and began where the temple used to be, and began to pray. They went and told the king, broke the king's heart. King said, I don't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. He tried for a whole day. He worried himself sick trying to figure out a way to get around it. Couldn't do it. But he's just going to just not do it anyhow. And these guys came back. Now, they came back. King, Daniel did it. You made the decree. Throw him in. Telling the king what he had to do. King threw him in. Had him thrown in. Put a stone over the mouth. Worried up. Fasted. A heathen king fasted and prayed all night long. Went to the lion's den early the next morning. You saw what happened to that young girl out in, was it California? That 800-pound lion got out of the cage. Daniel had been in a den full of them. They kept that for the king's and the noblemen's amusement. They would throw different things in there. People and other things, just for amusement. King went to the den, had the stone rolled back, said, Daniel, Daniel! Here's the phrase. Here's the phrase. Verse 22, chapter 6. My God sent. My God sent. King, don't worry, brother. All everything's cool. My God sent his angel. And he shut the lion's mouth, but that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Here's your phrase, my God hath sent. What does that mean in my rough life today, guys? Daniel was saved because God sent someone to protect him. I don't know, but I like to think that it was Jesus myself. And I would like to think that it was Jesus that hung out with Daniel that night. And can you imagine the time that they had together with those lions just all laying over there snoring? Can you imagine what kind of fellowship that they had? Daniel said, don't worry, King, everything's all right. Everything's fine. Daniel was saved because God sent someone. Now listen to me, I can say the same thing this morning. John 3:16 says that God so loved this world that he sent or gave his only begotten Son, that if Homer Murdoch would believe in him, that I would not perish but have everlasting life. I am alive today and I'm okay because God has sent someone. That's your third phrase. God has sent someone. Therefore, I can be victorious over sin and temptation because God has sent. I can be victorious over shame and guilt. That guilt and shame that you're bearing this morning, I was preaching one time on God removing the guilt and shame from a person and making it just as if you'd never sinned before, 1 John 1:9. And I saw God lift the burden of sin off of this beautiful lady sitting in the back of the building. She's sitting in the very back of the building. And when the truth of that thing came true, I don't know what her sin was. She never told me, but I'll tell you one thing. She became one of the most faithful, fervent church members that I had after that night when God lifted that load of guilt off of her. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Listen to me, boys and girls, men and women. It doesn't matter what you've done. God has sent someone that's taken that guilt and that burden that off you. Don't let the devil mess with you because of that. God doesn't know anything about it. He's forgotten it. You have victory over sin and guilt and shame. You have victory over death and the devil. Because God has sent someone. You have victory over evil and the filth of this world because God has sent one. Did you know that half the men in this place, half the men in this congregation right here this morning, dabbles in pornography occasionally? You don't have to do that, guys. God has sent someone that'll take you out of that. I'm going to start working on you guys every first Sunday morning. I'm going to spend 20 minutes. God laid it on my heart this week. I'm going to start spending 20 minutes on Sunday morning after breakfast just investing in you guys' lives to show you that God has sent someone. You don't have to be subject to the things of this world. So you come to breakfast next first Sunday morning, you're going to hear a sermon before the sermon. And by the way, next Sunday, when I get back after Easter, the first Sunday in April, we're not going to do anything but pray. We're going to pray for the whole worship service. I'm going to let you stand up and say, God's burdened my heart for somebody so-and-so's lost. I know they're dying and going to hell. I want you to pray for them. We're going to pray for them right then. We're going to spend the whole time praying on the first Sunday in April. You just count on that. That's going to be what we're going to do that morning. God can give you victory over death and devil, over the evil and the filth of this world. My friends, here this morning, you are under death sentence. Linda, come and play. You're under a, please, you're under a death sentence, but I want you to know three things. Number one, there is a God in heaven. Number two, God is able to deliver you. Number three, my God sent. And bow your heads with me, if you would, please, this morning. I'm finishing up. Oh. Listen to what I'm going to say. I know you've been listening all morning. Thank you so much for your attention. If you die and go to hell, it's going to be a difficult thing. If you die and go to hell, it's going to be against every prayer that I've prayed for you since I've been here. If you choose to die and go to hell, it's going to be against the prayers of this church as we pray for the lost every Sunday. If you die and go to hell, it's going to be against, you're going to have to trample underfoot the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. It's not going to be an easy thing for you to get out of here and get to hell from here, because there are a lot of things that's doing their best to hold you and keep you from going to hell and cause you to go to heaven. You don't have to go this morning. I prayed this morning for every one of you that are here this morning. I prayed for you that if God's speaking to your heart about something, that He would grant you the grace to know the joy of being obedient to Him this morning. So I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you. And there may be some here that's never been saved. You don't know if you've been saved or not. And so what a perfect morning just to say, Lord Jesus, salvation is so easy because it costs God so much. Lord, I thank you for dying for me on Calvary. I give my life to you this morning. I want you to come into my heart and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. And by your grace, with your help, I'll serve you the best I can for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you so much for the service this morning. There are those here that you're speaking to that you're telling them to do something. Maybe it's be saved. I don't know what it is, Lord. Maybe you've got a call on their life and they're to respond as a missionary or a pastor or whatever. Or maybe, Father, there's some that need to rededicate their lives. Whatever, God, I just pray that during this invitation time they'll be obedient to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Deacons, would you come forward to help me in case somebody comes up in some time? I'd appreciate it to stand along the front seat up here. And if God's dealing with you this morning, this is your time while Linda pray. I'll tell you what, let's sing a verse of that. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever. If God's speaking to your heart this morning for any reason, I invite you to come. I'm in no hurry. I don't have to do anything until 7:30 this evening, so just be obedient to the Lord. Be right. down if you need to talk to me. I'm going to ask Tommy if he would. Draw him to the back. You're not going to go to Pennsylvania Yard because you're going to be having surgery April 1st, so I want you to pray for him. Remember, Tommy, and remember our youth search committee. They are doing some fantastic work. Well, yeah, we do. You can go on to the back, so you'll be ready, Tommy. Thank you, Joanne. I would have closed in prayer. Terry, come up here. Barbara, come up here with me a minute. In our closing prayer this morning, we're going to, there's eight people on this team. We're going to represent you. I give you my word that we're going to do our best to make you proud. What we're going to be doing is working in a hospital that has a president that's one of the godliest men I've ever met in my life, Joseph. He's a Brit from England. Great man of God, one of the deepest spiritual men I've ever known. Very, very, very intelligent. And their hospital has a great chaplain staff. They not only work on the bodies of Arabs and Jews as well. It's the only place in Israel that I know of that a Jewish doctor will fix an Arab man. May cuss him out after it's over, but he'll fix him and save his life and send him out the door. And it's the love of Jesus. You can feel the love of Jesus all over this place. And just under the bank, when you get home, Google EMMS Hospital Nazareth, and you'll see a picture. The picture that you'll see will be from down on the ground there in Old Nazareth where Jesus played when he was a kid. And the ground is still the same. The only place in Israel that I know of that they've not altered the ground, especially in the cities. But it's just like it was in Jesus' day. It's just a 200-300 yards from where Jesus is raised. So those are the hills he played on when he was a kid. And that'll be, you'll see part of that field of that wall. And that's where we'll be working, in a place that puts Christ first, regardless of your nationality. And what we do is help facilitate their ability to do that and try to take care of some of the expenses and things that they have while we're there. So I thank you for giving me the opportunity to go. I thank you for covering my in-country expense while I'm over there, for letting me and Barbara go. And I'm thankful to you that you're a faithful congregation that has a vision for the world and for taking care of everything and everybody while we're gone. Barbara, do you want to say anything? Well, if they can't see Christ in you, honey, they're blind. Terry, do you have anything?
I'm already changed, I know that, and I can't imagine what he's going to do in my life now. All within a year's time, I came down here from New Hampshire, all by faith that God was going to use me. And all within 1 year, he's made me a missionary, he's made me a publisher, and I have my own Christian radio show. That's an amazing God that wants to work through us if we just let him. We give up our own free will, and we want to be about our Father's business.
No sermon, just...
And we just let him use us. And that's the most important thing that he needs.
Yeah. Thank you. Pray that I can keep Terry in line while we're over there. And keep her from witnessing to somebody getting us put in jail or shot. So, the people are in place. We have representatives there. Southern Baptist. You don't know it. And if you did, you couldn't share it. And so for goodness sakes, don't Google or email it because they monitor the email and the website of South Fork Baptist Church. So whoever, don't let anything be put on the website, Sherry. Don't let them put anything on the website about a mission trip because it's not a mission trip, it's a tour. You know. So, but we have, God's given us great, great people that are there in Israel that are really making a difference. 1 week when we were over there, we had 25 Arab kids saved out of the Judean wilderness that live in tents down. And we bring Arab and Jewish kids, no sermon, I know, you tell me, shut up too. But we bring Arab and Jewish kids together, and they hang out together in the camp. The only place in Israel where Arabs and Jews get along, play together, and have fun. And they realize, hopefully, in a few years, we will grow to the point that maybe there's some peace between them. I know Jacob and Esau, it's going to be, their descendants going to be a struggle from now on, but anyhow, we're doing what we can, so. pray for us while we're gone. And do any of you have any questions or anything you'd like to ask us before we go? You're going to pray a blessing on us, and when you pray that blessing on us, you're going to commit to pray for us while we're gone. Okay. You want to have any questions or anything you'd like to say to us? Appreciate it. Biblically, we lay hands on people when we want to bless them. So I'm asking you to touch somebody close to you, and those of us close to us, touch us. And as soon as we say amen, all of you that think you might be interested in going to Pennsylvania, you want to hear a little more about it, just come on up to the choir loft and we'll talk. And done, this is right on time, 12 o'clock. So praise the Lord. Lay hands on us and pray for us, and then we'll go into our next meeting. Brother Barry, if you would lead us in prayer. If all of you get to where you can touch someone, and then at least we'll be...